Welcome to Complete Karate.
Hi, welcome along to another Complete Karate, and we're just trying to get a few thoughts down for you to listen in on. Maybe give us some feedback as to what works and what topics need discussion and what ones really don't. So this week I thought we'd try and just take a little peek at the idea that if you're ill, you should still go to the dojo. Now, alarmist straight away, we're going to have to say, look, if you've got something that's hugely contagious and you don't want to give it to everyone else in the dojo, then yeah, stay at home. Keep that to yourself. Keep your illness to yourself and recover quicker. However, let's say you've got an injury or something that's non-contagious, perhaps making an adult decision for yourself, you decide that you could go to the dojo. Now, every dojo is different, and some teachers are not going to want someone sitting on the side watching who can't take part. And some are going to say, yeah, actually, you're going to learn more if you go along and you sit there on the side, maybe take some notes, and you know, you try to mimic or mime the bits that you can do without getting in the way or causing a fuss. Perhaps you still can serve a purpose there for yourself to try to get your training better instead of sitting at home watching TV. So maybe that's something that holds. Maybe that's something that we can say, depending on what your teacher says, what the instructor says, maybe you can still be at the dojo with an injury. Sometimes you can even train with an injury. You know, I get someone who's come along and they've got a broken finger, and you say, well, you know, they're not going to be able to form a good fist, they're not going to be able to make a tight fist with that hand. No, they're going to have to be really careful. They're going to have to make sure that when they're training, that fist isn't going to get any more damaged, that finger isn't going to get any more damaged. But that doesn't mean that they can't be in the dojo, it doesn't mean they can't train. If they're practicing basics in thin air, well, then it's just going to have to be a nukite, isn't it? It's going to have to be a spear hand instead of a punch, a gyakazuki or a straight punch. They're going to need to adjust. We can't have the situation where you're walking down the street, someone attacks you and you say, well, can you attack me again another day? I've got a broken finger. You're going to have to adjust. You've got to use what you've got available when you've got it. Now, that means that some of the instructions that are given to the class aren't going to fit that particular individual. But if we all were waiting until we were perfectly healthy, until we stepped in the dojo and did our training, then we'd be waiting an awful long time, wouldn't we? Because we've all got our issues and our things that aren't quite right. We've all got those, that clicky hip or that knee that won't quite do what I want it to do, and I really like my foot to face this way, but it won't quite get there. So what that means is that if we've got to adapt anyway, because we all have our limitations, then when we've got an injury, that's just another limitation, isn't it? I'm not going to tell someone that they can't come training just because they've got a broken leg. Instead, we're going to say, if you've got the potential to come in and do some training, and you know, if you've got a broken finger, then you strap that up as well as you possibly can and you take care of it during training, there's still stuff you can do. Maybe we go to doing hooks and jabs on the pads, and your broken finger means that you can't be impacting with that hand. Well then, guess what? Maybe you can make a palm heel strike, but maybe you can't. Maybe you just then need to use the other hand twice as much. That's going to be more tiring for you that way compared to someone who's able to alternate their fists. But at the same time, if that's what you've got available, then that's what you use. So, you know, just to say that there are things that someone with an injury or with an illness can do. And, you know, we're not medical experts, we're not there to advise someone. When a doctor says you can't do it, then you have to decide whether you're going to take that advice. Some doctors are going to tell you no training for 6 weeks, no training for 2 months, whatever it is, and then as an adult you can make up your own mind. So as long as we're careful, as long as we're taking care not to make any existing condition worse, then there are things to be done. There's training that can be done. At very least, you can be sitting on the side and taking note of what goes on in class. And that way you're still part of the community, you're still part of what's going on in class. So we're not missing out entirely. You don't feel like stuff's going on behind your back. And maybe, just maybe, there's the opportunity to help someone else out who's training. If you're senior enough and you spot an error that someone who was working on the pads is doing wrong, maybe you can chime in. Maybe not. It depends on, you know, we also have the phrase that there's only one sensei in class, right? So maybe you can't chime in. But maybe you can. Maybe you can help someone. Maybe your injury is such that you're still able to hold a pad for someone. Maybe your injury is such that you're still able to mark a place where they've got a kick over, or provide a training aid of some kind. There's still things you can do for the dojo. There's things you can do for yourself in the dojo, even when you've got an illness or an injury, most of the time. So, yeah, once again, reiterating, if it's contagious and you don't want to spread it around, then yes, you've got to keep it to yourself. You know, there's all kinds of situations and diseases that we really don't want in the dojo. Same time, there's also a lot of stuff that we can do and we can get away with. And if we are really practicing a martial mindset, if we're really looking at those situations where, do you know what, if it happened today, if it was necessary today, then this is how I would cope, then really an injury is not going to be an excuse, is it? Especially when you get someone who says, you know, that they've hurt their shoulder. Well, then they're still going to need to train. And if someone attacks, they're still going to need to be ready for it. If someone's hurt their foot, if someone's got a wound, then yeah, we've got to keep it clean and we've got to keep it maybe covered up because we don't want to spread blood around. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that you can't do something there in the dojo. So that was just a thought, and you might let me know what your thoughts on the matter are, and then maybe we can have a discussion a little bit further on the subject. One more topic to cover, because last time we were talking about breathing, and I think we might have left out something absolutely vital, which is that when we're in the dojo and we're training, yeah, you've got to breathe, and I like to think that there's a breath per move, or sometimes a combination shares one breath across the whole combination. But how about when you get winded, when you have no breath? Well, if we're sparring and that happens, then you get to turn around, kneel down, and sit up straight to recover quicker. It's very, very important in those situations that you manage to turn your breathing into belly breathing, even more urgent than when we're up on our feet and training. You've always got the room then for an emergency breath, a big chest breath. But if you are training and you get winded, then that back up straight, push your belly out to draw air in, squeeze your belly in to push the air out. That's absolutely essential for a faster recovery. Now, being winded doesn't even mean that you've been struck. It could just be that we've really worked at a terrific pace and you find yourself out of breath. And the first thing that we want to do when we're out of breath is curl over and maybe hold on to something to hold ourselves up. Maybe you're leaning on your knees or whatever else people find themselves doing when they're out of breath. But if we can, just get your back up straight, even if it means kneeling down and sitting cross-legged on the floor. Get your back up straight, get your belly pushed out to draw air in, and then literally control how slowly you exhale, and then how slowly you make the next inhalation. Then that it makes for a quicker recovery. And it might be that it still takes you a minute to get your air back, but it's a lot quicker than it would have been if you hadn't taken those belly breaths. So just looking at breathing for recovery as well, which I don't think we managed to cover the last time we were here. So I hope that's a little bit of information and enough to keep you thinking with training. And maybe next time we'll tackle some drills and other things that you might have a go at when you're training. So for this one, that's us. I have been John Burke, and this is Complete Karate.